Dan, I need you to come up here and turn this thing on for me. Thank you. Lesson number four. I'm sure he's told me before. Oh, there, isn't that nice where it says on? Okay. I just moved by the singing. It was one of the first times that I can imagine that I think I barely heard Sam's hallelujah because of the volume of the singing. Isn't that a praise? It's awesome that we're able to give that kind of praise to the Lord. So before we jump into the message, I just wanted to just take a few minutes and see how well you guys know your mothers, okay? Or not just your own personal mothers, but mothers from culture over the last 50 or 60 years, and then mothers from the Bible. So this is kind of a quiz for you. Keep your own score, okay? So we're going to work through this and see if I've got this right. I do. All right. Well, are you ready? All right, let's warm it up here. Let's warm up here. What's your mom's middle name? Everyone know their mom's middle name? You guys know your mom's middle name? You got your mom's middle name? What's your mom's middle name? All right. Is she in service this morning? All right. Where's Marie at? There she is. All right. Very good. All right. Well, that's a good warm-up. So what's the name of the TV name of the Brady Bunch mom? Jonathan, do you know that one? All right, some of you might know. This is a kind of a cultural thing, right? I'm sure it is. There she is. Does that help, Jonathan? Not a bit, all right? Jonathan, your parents never showed you the Brady Bunch? I'll have a message next week on that, all right? 10 reasons why you should watch the Brady Bunch. Well, everybody, Carol, right? You doing good so far? You're not doing well at all over there. Well, maybe it'll get better. All right, here we go. Here's another one. Let's see here. Name the mother of John the Baptist. If you're having trouble, just ask Andy and Stacy. You guys got it? You know the mother of John the Baptist? Well, go ask Andy and Stacy real quick. They're right over there. He can wave at you. Yeah, go on. You got it? What is it? That's right! Woo! Trying to help you out here, all right? All right. Okay, good. All right, let's try another one now. Which mom puts her baby in the basket on the Nile River to save her son? All right, there's a good one. Bible one. You got it? How many people think they got it? Three. Oh, boy. We got to teach through Exodus a little bit more. Okay, so here she comes, Jochebed. All right, you got it. Good job. Very good. She says, I listen in Sunday school. All right, let's try another cultural one here. This is not related to Chris or Amber, but what was the name of the mother of that strange TV family in the 1960s? Do you know that one? Jonathan. How about you? You know that one? All right, I'll give you a hint. All right, here's your hint. There she is. All right, all right. Do you know it now, Jonathan? Oh, your parents let you watch that. Is that what you're saying? Okay, all right. Everybody got it? Locked in? Okay, it's Morticia. Okay. All right, Brian, you do okay over there? You got no Adams family for him. All right. Which mom prayed for a baby while she visited a temple? And if you're not sure, just ask Jared. Yes! Yes! Good job! He's got how the game goes now. All right. There she is. It doesn't look like her, but that's her. All right. Ooh, give them first and middle name of John F. Kennedy's mother. This is like a bonus. You get 30 points for this one. You get 10 points for all the other answers. First, then middle, if you can. Now, you get points for getting the first name, okay? I'll help you out a little bit here with that. There she is. All right? But I got it? Got locked in? You know it, right? You should. Most of you should know. This is cultural. I get it. Probably some of the more mature, I'm supposed to use that, more mature folks would know this one, right? So here's her name. Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy. How many of you got that? All right. Very good. Very good. All right. Very good. I think we might be done. Nope, there's one more. How many times does the word mother appear in the Bible? Now you get a choice. And yes, the correct answer is up there. Everybody got their answer locked in? Are you good at multiple guess? Are you good at multiple guess? Me either. If there's two, I'll get the wrong one. So, yeah, that's the way it goes. All right, so here's the answer. 320. Yeah. Was it a guess, or did you just happen to just know that as a fact? Very good, very good. Well, I don't know how you want to score yourself. I didn't add up the points myself, but you're all winners, so... Happy Mother's Day. Now, we want to talk about mothers, but we want to talk just for a few moments, and I know it's 11 after 11. You're going to be shocked on how well I could get this thing done. Good advice from moms in the Bible. Now, the way they get this advice is tough. It's not always an easy path. So really what I'm saying is that we're going to get some good advice from moms who walked through the valley of the shadow of death. That's really what we're going to go after here. And so I want you to take your Bibles right now, if you got them. I want you to open up to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And while you're turning there, there's this great passage that talks about their children rise up and call her the mother blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. That's a beautiful picture of a woman who's not perfect, but just pursues and desires to follow after the Lord. And we're so glad so many of our moms made that decision. Not perfect, but striving to please God. So we want to look here, first of all, at Eve. Eve, and if you have your Bibles in Genesis, we're going to start in chapter 2 here. We're just going to kind of get just the context real quick. The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone, so he had just created Adam. And so God says, I'm going to make a helper fit for him, because he's going to need a lot of help. I know that's my added, but that's really what the Hebrew means there. Now, out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that made the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And so here we have the beginning of the first mom. I just wanted you to hear it from Scripture itself, okay? This is actually where it all started, right here. God created man. It was wonderful. It was perfect, but he realized he's going to need help in life, and I'm going to provide that for him by giving him someone who can help him. And so Eve is the original mom. And Eve discovered early on that following one's heart, and following one's passions, following one's dream, desire, apart from God's blessing, doesn't turn out too good. That's important to know, because in our culture today, that's a big cultural proposition. Follow your dream, follow your heart, follow your passion. I'm here to tell you, based on God's word, that doesn't work well if it doesn't follow God. And so Eve learned that early on. Genesis 3, you have, you're right there. 6 records the event where the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. So she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate, and there it was. So now sin comes into the world. Scripture makes that clear. We have the creation of the man and the wife, and soon after, I don't know how long. A lot of people have tried to speculate how long that was. Doesn't seem like it was, but who knows? So here we have, and she sins. She makes a choice. She's following after her desires and her passions. But it wasn't following after God's heart and God's passions, and it ended up bad. So you need to know, ladies, young ladies, teenagers, and young girls here today, just following after your passion is not necessarily a good thing. Following after God's passion is a great thing. Eve learned this early on. Now what happens is, this is the beginning, happens right here, of stress. How many moms struggle with stress from time to time? All of us do. You don't all have to put, how many of us, period, all of us have stress. It starts right here. In fact, if you read the text slowly, we don't have time. It happened immediately. As soon as sin entered the world, stress comes. So where did all this stress come from? Sin. We had a doctor friend in Danville. You may have heard this before, but it was hilarious. We'd take our kids there, and he was really sick. And so we said, and he was a Christian man in our church. I love the Lord. And he said, "Doc, what's wrong with him? What's going on?" He said, "It's just a sin problem." Now, of course, he's being funny, but it's true. We wouldn't have illnesses, we wouldn't have sicknesses, we wouldn't have death, and we wouldn't have stress if it wasn't for sin. So right away, it doesn't take long for Eve to feel stress rising up. She has stress immediately with God. She gets that. Whoa, there's stress already. Oh, who's this guy with me? Now she got stress with the guy that God made for her, okay? So there's stress with people, and it just comes on, it piles on and on and on. I told you she walked through the valley. I mean, she's learning these things, so she's really learning. Now, here's the problem with all of this. Eve didn't have a mom to ask questions to. She didn't have an older aunt or someone that can walk through any of this with her. She had the Lord, of course. And that's enough, we understand. But you know what I'm talking about. Someone you can sit down with, cup of coffee, and say, hey, what's going on? She didn't have that. She didn't have books to read. Dr. Spock had not been created by then. Of course, I wouldn't follow him anyway, by the way. But, you know, there it is. So there we have. She didn't have all other input. And there were a lot, basically learn on the job. That's what she did. On the job training of being a wife and then also being a mother. So they had children, as the text said. We're not going to read it, but how she raised Cain and Abel would be similar. It's in the same household. But isn't it interesting, if you go down a little further in the passage, you can find out that even though these two kids were born in the same household, with the same mom, with the same dad, with the same way, hey, this is how we worship the Lord, this is how we do life, they both responded to God differently. This is where it started. Have you had that question or comment ever made in your own house? We have in ours. We have all these kids, and they all turned out differently. That's right. They did, and for her, it was the same way. And so, you know, even though she may have taught them, this is how you do this, this is how God has taught us to worship him, there's not anything in there. We just get jumped to the next scene, basically. There's a lot of fast-forwarding on that DVD, okay? And then now we have the boys are grown up, Cain and Abel. They're offering a sacrifice to God, and as you can read the text yourself in chapter 4 there, they've offered this thing to the Lord, and they simply respond to God completely different. One is accepted, one is not, and man, what they chose to do just blows our mind. How can you go from, it wasn't long ago we're all tiptoeing through the tulips, right? And now all of a sudden, I got one brother killing another. And my friend, We've been killing each other ever since. We're still killing each other. Do we consider our brothers and sisters over in Russia and Ukraine and the Middle East our brothers and sisters? We should. They are. We all came from the same mom, and they're killing each other. And we're killing each other here in the States. We got no rocks to throw here. I don't even want to go down that road, but you know and you understand even what's going on in the news today about this. They're going crazy over the abortion thing being overturned. And we're still killing each other. And so she's seeing this, and she's horrified. Now, there's no way Eve wanted this, right? No mom in the world would say, wow, that's cool. No, that is not at all what happened. She had to have been horrified. Can you imagine, by the way, the guilt feelings that are starting to rise up? Yeah, if I'd have only done this. You ever done that, mom? Go down the only if I'd have done this, and if I'd have done this, and if I'd have done this, and you play the if I'd have done this game. You could go on that forever and ever and ever. Who, of course, life looks better on the other side of the decision. You can say, oh, I should have done this a little differently. But man, that's a game that will only destroy you in the end. But I'm sure Eve kind of felt that way. Boy, if I'd have only done this. But what she's learning is that there's devastating consequences to sin. You just don't walk away and say, oh, I'm sorry. And that's it. There were consequences, and now she's seeing it live with her own children. Oh my goodness. What has Cain tried to do? Cain did what his mom and dad did. You remember mom and dad? When they sinned, what did they try to do? Let's just cover it all up. We're going to cover it up. It's interesting how instantly they knew that they were naked, and so they had to cover themselves up. Because now there's a breach of trust and shame is there. And now they're trying to cover themselves up and not too good with whatever it is. God had to intervene. And what does Cain try to do? What is his brother? Got to cover it up, man. Let's cover it up. You really think that God can't see what's happening? So just being like mom tries to cover up his sin. But Cain will find out, as Eve found out, you can't cover your sin on your own. You can't do it. People are trying. People are trying even today, even right now. There could be people in here in the room, you know, I'm just going to be good. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to make God proud of me, and I'm going to try to go ahead. I realize that I'm not a perfect person, and that, you know, if you want to use the word sin, okay, I'll acknowledge that. I sin. I do things that are wrong. Maybe I've lied or done things I shouldn't have done. I get that, but I'm going to work hard. I'm going to run into that forest of mine, and I'm going to cover up the best I can by doing good works, by living a good life. I'm going to cover it up, God. I'm going to cover it up, and it doesn't work. You cannot cover your own sin. And you're standing there, and I'm standing there. We're as guilty as can be. But this isn't the last chapter for Eve. That's what I love about the scriptures. It tells the story the way it is. It didn't hide the fact that men and women could be stupid and do bad things. And here comes God swooping in. Look at chapter 3 and verse 21 real quick. See if I got the right verse here. It says, and so the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin, and he clothed them. We probably read over that real fast. Probably even when we were in school, Sunday school, Bible studies. But that's a significant part of Genesis. God clothed them. That's what it took to get properly covered. It took an interaction from someone outside their element. They couldn't do it themselves. God had to come in and do this. And so God shows up, and so Adam and Eve, they accept this covering. They don't rip it off and say, no, I like the fig leaves better, thank you. She experienced this grace of God. And eventually, because she did, And she was willing to learn and move forward. It says that Eve is given an opportunity to fulfill God's call and her and Adam. I want you to look at chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. It says, what happened? After all this horrible destructiveness of the killing of one son and the banishment of the one who did it. Adam knew his wife again. She bore a son, called his name Seth. For she said, God hath appointed me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. And so here we have Eve's advice for us. I think if she was sitting here and I was able to interview, I believe this is one of the things that she would say to you and me today. Live under God's covering. He provides with obedience and faith. You might be here this morning and it might be in your situation where you have been working very diligently to be respectful and honest in all that you do, even with God. But until you come to God and get covered by His covering, you and I would be lost in our sin. For only salvation comes by one way. The Bible says it is by grace we are saved through faith. That is not of ourselves. It's not anything we can do. We can't do it. You might put the fig leaves on and walk around your whole life covered yourself, but it's not the covering that works. And that's why God the Father sent Christ the Son to come to earth to pay the penalty for our sin, because with the sin, there is somebody's got to pay. And so we have this whole thing where God covers us on the cross by shedding His blood. And He rises again to prove once and for all that He is the one and only has the power over sin and death. So we offer salvation. Eve would say, yeah, I wish that I would have accepted that covering in the garden. Life would have been a lot different. But it took all those painful steps to get her to the place where she accepted it and realized, yes, God, I need to follow after You. I need to do what You say and not try to follow after my own passions and my own desires. But what are Your passions and Your desires for me? God gives those to you. So Eve has this. So I'd ask you simply today, as we close our time here, and we can turn that off now. Think, mothers, oh my goodness. I can't tell you how many times my own mom covered me. See, what do you mean by that? I don't mean my sin. I had a mom and dad like Phil was explaining. Yeah, there was no problem there. But mom, even to today, she covers me with her prayer. She covers me daily with her prayers and with her love. And moms, that's one of the best things you can do, because you know what? No matter how much you might raise the kids to do the right thing, model for them to do the right thing. I know we're not all perfect, but you know what I'm talking about. At the end of the day, that Cain, that Abel, that Seth, whoever's all those kids that are in your classroom, I'm teacher coming out of me, in your home, they have to come to God. And you can help that by covering them with prayer so that they will ultimately go to the one who can cover them forever. Amen. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin and mine. And He offers to you forgiveness, eternal life, and another chance to obey Him. And moms, for all that you've done, and all that I know you want to do, thank you. Would you bow with me, please? Every head bow and every eye closed. There's someone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Would you come to him now? There's no hiding from God. Adam and Eve tried to do it. God walks in and asks the question, where are you? He knows where they are. He's asking for you. Simply by faith in what Christ has done for you. He paid the penalty for your sin and mine. You say, how's that done? It's simply, I'm going to transpose this word or replace the word faith with the word trust. That's what it means in our culture today, a little clearer, that we need to trust in what God has done. Trust in Jesus Christ. Believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You're trusting in that. You're not trusting in your works or your church membership or your good deeds or whatever it is you're trying to do to impress God. It's in him alone. Jesus loves you and gave himself for you. Will you trust in him? You can do it simply by crying out from your heart, Father, thank you so much for loving me and for sending Christ Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. I pray that you'll forgive me of my sin, and I'm trusting in Jesus and what he did alone. In his death, his burial, his resurrection. If you trusted in Christ for your salvation, welcome to the family of God. And for many of us today, moms or dads or teens, young adults, maybe there's some things in our life, in our heart, that we need to get covered. As believers, we don't have to ask God to keep coming into our heart and saving us. We're saved. But we are commanded, if we do sin, we can confess those sins to God. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would you do that now? Don't try to cover things yourself. Take it to the Lord. And finally, moms, and all those who are playing the role of mom, whether that be a single dad or aunt or uncle or friend or whatever, or teachers often do that. I just want to have a special prayer for you as we close. That you will always point your children to the one who can cover them completely, and that you yourself will seek after that one. Father, as we close our time today, we have been blessed by stories of moms. We've been blessed by the word that pictures things so clearly to us concerning moms, all the dirt and all the good stuff. And in the end, the grace of God brings salvation. And I'm thankful for Eve, our first mom. She went through some tough times. I throw no rocks at her. For God, my sin is great, as all of our sin. And who knows what we would have done in her position. But we want to thank you for her. But most importantly, we want to be thankful for your grace to her and how you loved us through loving her. And by providing covering and protection and a life, yes, even though we can sin, even though we can make terrible choices and we have consequences and difficult things, you can bring about great life again in us. And I pray, Father, for the mothers here today, that you would encourage them this day, that as they do your great will, as they follow after you, that they would be that kind of mom
who would desire to cover their children with prayer, cover their children with their own acts of the way that they walk before you, and through that obedient faith that they have, it will be translated and multiplied in the hearts of their children as they pass on this great news of God's grace through Christ. Thank you for our moms this day. Bless them, I pray, and bless all those this morning who have come to Christ for the first time. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Dan.